Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Meta Cafe. Grab your cup of coffee or tea and let's chat about what's happening this week and today in the stars, in the sky, in the planets, in the moon, and in all of those kinds of things that we look to for guidance and for validation of what's happening. So today, Monday, I hope everybody, by the way, had a good weekend despite some of the crazy mass shootings and craziness in the world, which now ramps up, of course, the rhetoric again. And I don't know where this ends, people. I don't know if it ends. I don't know that we can't create a change of heart. But I think one is certainly called for. And all I can say is blessings and love and our heartfelt condolences going out to the people that were affected, whose family or friends or anybody that they knew were involved. And hopefully peace will prevail, right? Today, the moon is in Libra. Libra is a peaceful sign. It is a sign known for its diplomatic, tactful, and trying to balance and harmonize approach. Whether that really helps or not, I don't know, because the moon in Libra is also squaring both Libra or both Cancer and Capricorn, where we still have energy placed. And it is also opposing the sign Aries, where the goddess Eris, goddess of discord, is, and later today the moon will conjunct Eris, much later in the day. But before that, we have some good energies for today. We also have some more strenuous energies. There's a lot going on in behind the scenes, but nothing major. So it's an interesting week because I did not expect two or three mass shootings in a week, two in one weekend. And I certainly wouldn't have thought that at all of this weekend, because everything else astrologically looked so peaceful. There was the Venus square Uranus, which pointed to some, you know, upsets and some surprises. I wouldn't have predicted that those would have been the surprises or the upsets, however. But again, is it really surprising? I mean, we have so much rhetoric out there that is designed to create hate, to keep us divided and to keep us in separation. And those people who are just left of center or just right of center mentally can take in that information and believe that they have the need to take action on it. And they do. And then we're all left with the fallout of that. So interesting, just interesting energies. By all accounts, this is a month that is not meant to have this kind of upset and this kind of craziness going on. But that is for you personally, right? There are going to be those one-offs out there that create, you know, issues or put or are under pressure in their own charts, and then they act out. So again, just sending condolences and love and peace and loving energies out there toward the families or the friends of anybody that was affected by those shootings. So what does the moon in Libra mean for each of us today? First of all, let me say good morning. I see people popping in. Good morning, Debbie TT. Good morning, Lisa. Not seeing any picture. Maybe Lisa maybe hit refresh because I see me. That doesn't mean anything, however, as we've seen. Good morning, Debbie Hedden. Good morning, Lynn Goldberg. Not sure if she can stay, but she wanted to pop in and say good morning. Good morning, Elisa. Good morning. Oh, there she sees me now. Okay, good. So good morning to all of you. Hope you had a great weekend. I had a wonderful Friday. Spent time with my grandkids, seven of them. It was a little crazy, as in Wyatt is just about 16 months old now, and that makes him a busy little boy. And also wants a lot of, you know, mom attention, which I played the role of mom, you know, in place of mom and his dad on Friday. So I was holding him, and it was fun. I just love being able to do something like that. And the summertime is the best time to do that before they're all off to school and football and cheerleading and volleyball and all the things that they're all involved into. So it was a good day. Friday, Saturday, went to a birthday party and a 16-year-old's birthday party. She is also my granddaughter, but not by blood work. She's my claimed granddaughter. My son's girlfriend's two daughters are Bailey and Kendra. It was Kendra's 16th birthday, and amazing to see how many people showed up for her to celebrate her and her Leo energy. And then yesterday I just spent in blessed quiet. No kids, no nothing. It was kind of great. Had some wind issues here yesterday. My patio furniture went toppling over. It was like a breeze that came up out of nowhere and it just caught the umbrella. Luckily, it didn't kill off my petunias, which were sitting right beneath it. And so the weekend in and of itself for me wasn't half bad. I hope it was that way for you all as well. The moon in Libra, co-creation, cooperation, connection, collaboration, all the big C words that I could think of is what typically the moon brings us. It's the ability to harmonize and to feel into ways of creating peace and diplomacy, tact, all of those kinds of wonderful peace keeping and peace full sorts of energies. Although because of the energies in Capricorn and Cancer, and even some of the things that are piled up, Chiron, Eris in Aries, it creates a square to all of the to the planet, or the moon creates a square to the planets that are in Cancer and Capricorn and in opposition to anything in Aries. So there is the potential for this to be a complex and or complicated emotional kind of day. And I'm feeling that this morning too. I'm feeling that I don't know what to feel kind of feeling. Like, am I don't know. I don't even know how to describe it. So today's just, I'm just going to be sort of kind of quiet within here with myself because I don't want to be spewing emotional stuff out to other people. And I also don't want to be quiet, completely and withdrawn. So it's that, of course, the scales of balance in Libra. How do we balance all of those energies? Now, today's moon is in harmony with the fire planets. Funny enough, right? Sun, Jupiter, and Mars are all in a sextile with the moon, and a sextile meaning a 60-degree angle or relationship to the planets or between them, which is really kind of they're sharing their gifts and their talents. They're sharing of themselves in this. The moon in Libra is in air, and air fans the flames, if you will, of the fire signs and gives it life, gives it breath, right? So there is something here for us to, if we're willing to really go into the creative energies that are being expressed here, or the potential for the creative energies, we can build on our own creative impulses and create, build, grow something, right? Go for the gusto here, right? If you can negotiate your way into something, if you can create balance and harmony by moving forward, then today's a day to do that and do it with gusto, meaning, with heart and with soul. Get yourself all in and go for what you desire, right? Go for it. This is that kind of day. There is also the squares to Saturn and Pluto and the South Node and the North Node. So I'm going to show you sort of a picture of this if I can. So hold on, I forgot to draw it to the North Node, which is really kind of silly since I'm the one that always tells you it's an axis, right? So if you look at the chart for today, here's the moon down here in the sign of Libra. I should have written Libra there, but that's the symbol for Libra. And then here is, you can see these 90-degree angles, right? These are squares. It squares over here to the North Node in Cancer, and then also to the South Node and Saturn right now in Capricorn. And a little later in the day, we'll square Pluto. And then a little later in the day, we'll also square Mercury. So there's, and then by opposition, which is sort of the empty spot over here, at least for early in the day. Later in the day, there will be an opposition to Eris, and that will line up the with the squares also to Mercury and to Pluto. So it should be an interesting day. There's a lot of emotional energy here, and it's free flowing throughout, and it may be triggers, and it may be ups, it may be downs, it may be crying one minute, laughing the next minute. So there is the possibility that with the square to Saturn and later on in the day to Pluto, that you see obstacles or you see shadows or worries come up. And these are also fleeting, thankfully, because the moon moves quickly. And so we're not left all day long with this feeling. We are able to move through it fairly quickly. And as overnight, the moon will move into, actually tomorrow morning, the moon will move into Scorpio. So we may not have some of the more strenuous things happening until we go to sleep tonight. Wow. So maybe you'll be able to work out some of the frustrations, some of the irritations in your dream state, which is the better way to do it. Even though you may feel like your sleep is disrupted, it certainly is a better way than dealing with it with the people in your lives. So anyway, so not a bad day at all, just kind of filled with some emotional stuff. And this today would be a day for you to, you know, maybe stay at home and focus where it is that you want to go next, or, you know, stick close to your foundations, right? The Saturn Pluto square is about that destruction and the reconstruction and the building of a sustainable foundation, right? So foundational. All right. Any questions about any of that? Anybody? Good morning, Colleen. Good morning, Jennifer Peachy. Good morning, Linda. Great to see you all out there this morning. And so let me know if you have any questions, comments, anything that you wanted to square with that happened to you all over the weekend. In the meantime, I'm going to take a quick switch over. Good morning, Rebecca. Good to see you. I'm going to take a quick switch over to human design. There are no big changes today for human design, but I'm also sort of giving us a glimpse of the week ahead. And as for the week ahead, tomorrow from the 6th through the 11th. So from what is tomorrow, Tuesday to Sunday, we'll have the sun sitting at gate 7 with the earth sitting at gate 13. So remember last week of July, the sun was sitting at gate 31, which is the gate on the throat center that is about leadership. It is about elected leadership. Well, the gate 7 sits on the identity center. It is also a leadership gate, but it's sort of like the power behind the crown, or what's that saying, that the power behind the president, the chief of staff, if you will, or the person that acts as the guidance counselor behind the scenes, right? So there's a lot of leadership going on behind the scenes this week or this coming week that we don't see maybe in the face of things. This in the gene keys. So remember, for some of you who are new, I haven't really talked much about the gene keys this summer, which is kind of funny because I don't know why that is. But the gene keys gives us depth. It gives us a holographic look at the energies that are happening. And what I mean by holographic is that it is the ability to see through the shadow, through the higher order of the energy, which would be the gift, and then also through the highest expression of the gate or the energy or the gene key in what is called the Siddhi, right? The highest expression of it. At the gate 7, where the sun will be sitting this week, it's the lowest expression is division. The lowest expression for the earth at gate 13 is discord. So discord and division. So the spotlight this week in the shadows that we are grappling with, that we are trying to elevate ourselves up out of and into the gift frequencies, is the shadow of discord and division. And the way to move through those energies, the way up, the leg up, if you will, and I wouldn't be surprised when I get to the oracle cards if we pull that leg up card, that would just be hysterical, is the gift in the sun here is guidance. And the gift in the earth is discernment. Now, discernment at the earth doesn't sound very sexy, not at all. Guidance sounds pretty cool, right? Guidance, the sun in guidance, the earth in discernment. But discernment is huge. It's huge because discernment gives you power to have empathy, to discern what is happening, to see what the path is ahead, to determine, if you will, discerning what it is that you should take action on or not take action on. And it's interesting too, because the gate 13, where the earth is in human design considered the gate of listening, not just hearing, but listening. And listening requires more activation on your part, right? Active listening. I'm sure you guys have heard that saying before, or that phrase, active listening. And active listening means that you're zipped lipped while you hear and listen to what is being said, either through meditation to you or what someone in your world may be telling you, whether it's your kids, your spouse, your friends. People may have a message for you, and you could miss the message if you were not listening. So discernment is connected to listening, hearing the meaning behind things, and then choosing. Discernment chooses how to react or what to do or how to guide or how to lead. Now, the highest, the gift in each of these is virtue in the sun at gate 7 and empathy in the earth at gate 13. Empathy and virtue. Now, I almost felt like as I was writing that part down that I should get the dictionary out and look up virtue because, you know, I know a lot of you are kind of new and I used to always grab these words and I would grab these words and I would go to the dictionary and the dictionary would give me, you know, the first couple of meanings. But if you read through all the possible meanings, you'll get to the spiritual meaning behind those words. And you just can see it deeper if you just go with, the first one or two, it's just superficial. But if you go deeper in that definition, you can see how it is that division, guidance, and virtue all come together and how it is that discord moves through discernment and finally up to empathy. In fact, the way that Richard Rudd would say this in his words would be, it is the path from division to virtue through guidance. It is the path from discord to empathy through discernment. So that's the way we phrase this movement through these frequencies or these holograms of the shadow, the gift, and the siddhi. So that's what we have to look forward to through the week. And again, that begins tomorrow. And there are a couple of changes going on with Mercury, Venus, and Mars in the gates. And we'll talk about that more throughout the week. From an astrological standpoint, the moon this week moves through Libra, Scorpio, Sagittarius, and on the weekend through the sign of Capricorn. The biggest news of the week perhaps doesn't come until Sunday, when on that day we have Jupiter turning direct, we have Mercury moving out of Cancer and into Leo, and we have Uranus turning retrograde. So that's going to be the banner day there. And that adds another body into Leo and further solidifies that stellium of planets. It'll be Venus, Mars, the Sun, and Mercury all in Leo by the end of the week. And that's why we're saying that the need for us right now is to focus on our creative juices and to really build up that imaginal world and be prepared as we move later into August to take all of that imagination and all of that creative energy and apply it, right? Put it into the real world through the energies of Virgo as the stellium moves from Leo into Virgo as we move on through the month of August. Now, if we look at the Pleiadian Earth energy, of course, during the weekend, we began a new week. Calendar's right here in front of me. I want to say, and those of you who are new, of course, we're talking about the Pleiadian Earth calendar, Pleiadian Earth Energy Calendar 2019. I happen to know that 2020 will be coming out very soon, so I will let you know when that's available. I know that Pia and Colin are working hard on that, getting that finished. So if we look at the month of August, which is called Seeing Energy. Here's the month of August. Isn't that a beautiful picture? Right from that picture, looking at Earth You would never know the chaos and the craziness that goes on down here. It looks so serene. It looks so beautiful, right? And the month is about seeing energy. Energy is intelligent and can manifest in any form it chooses. Is that right? It chooses. Everything is related because everything is connected. And that is by Larkma, who is the group energy that has channeled this calendar through Pia and Colin. So today is, so it was on Friday when we began the new week, one seeing. And remember, the week isn't a 7-day week. It is a 13-day week where we move into the new level on the spiral of evolution, the new level of consciousness, and we move through 13 days of that. And finally, at the end of that spiral, we move into the gate 13, excuse me, not the gate, the universal energy 13, which is that of ascension or completion in preparation for the next level. So the month then is seen as a spiral of consciousness and not just this linear mechanical calendar. So I absolutely love this and I love sharing it with you. And here's something really special for you guys to think about. On the 15th of this month, which will be the full moon, that is also a 1 week. That begins the one or the new week in the calendar, and it's one loving. So maybe some of this craziness from the weekend will be behind us, and maybe we can hope and pray for someone to come out, someone, anyone of high caliber to come out and be our leader, to be a leader, to show leadership qualities, to heal and create less polarization and create a situation of wholeness and oneness and unity. And I don't know who that person is. I don't see one on the horizon, but we can hope. We can hope for a true leader, right? A true leader who is based out of his ego or her ego and in physical being, in love, and not in this division and discord energy. I woke up with a song in my head this morning, and I can't even remember who sings it, but it says, I need a hero, or we need a hero, something like that. I've got to find that song because it's just, it's a woman singing the song, and I want to say it's like, I don't even know. We need a hero, da-da-da-da-da-da. Oh, well, anyway, I'll look it up and find it because it's what I was thinking of. We need somebody to step up and say enough is enough and for us to bring back together, right? Heal that breach. As far as I can tell, there isn't anybody out there really that can do that. Perhaps Marianne Williamson. I think we need a spiritual leader, someone to really stand up and say, you know, this morning in the shower, I was thinking about writing a letter to all of the churches, the evangelical churches, the Christian churches, the Catholic churches, and saying, where are you fools, right? Where you are adopting this, where is your sanity? You know, where's the Christ? Where's the Jesus energy in all of this world where we support someone who very clearly, you know, it's very clear. I have a friend who goes around to evangelical churches a lot, and he talks to people and says, why did you vote for Trump? I mean, he was just curious. He's a Gemini, so he's curious, right? And by and large, almost every one of them said, we can't stand the man, but we voted for him because he was a pro-choice against abortion candidate. And I thought to myself, you vote because that person is pro-choice, pro-choice for an embryo that is not yet here, right? A life that is not yet lived, not yet born, against all of the other things that this person stands for in terms of destruction and discord and division and the furthering of that agenda. But it's okay. You're going to support him anyway because he's pro-choice. And it just, it's maddening, the hypocrisy and all of that. It's just maddening. And I don't get it, right? I don't understand that. I just don't get it, except that it furthers the agenda of discord and division here on the planet, or especially here in this country right now. I can only say this country because I live here. And it just, it's disheartening. It's maddening. It's polarizing. I feel it right here in my solar plexus. And I just want to I just want it to change, right? I just want all of this to stop, and I want change. I want change that's toward loving, toward embracing one another, letting go of racism, letting go of bigotry, letting go of misogyny, letting go of all of that. It's so passé. And it isn't the truth of who we are. I would say, you know, there's a good percentage of people in this country who are probably feeling like me, kind of gobsmacked by this whole thing, right? And what in the heck is going on here, right? I don't know. But I know that the only way that I can control anything is through me. So there you have it. And it sets us up for today's Pleiadian Earth energy, which is for self-regulating. How's that? Self-regulating, right? Regulate the self. The number four is the universal energy for the day, and it is the number of foundations, right? It brings stability. If you are working on your foundation, making it a sustainable, being a good steward of your energy, being a good steward of your time, being conservative in terms of being a good steward, is what you're doing sustainable? Does it add to the energy of the planet, or does it detract from the energy of the planet? So today is a day to really work on that foundation, avoiding the travel energy and staying closer to home, staying closer to where you can actually work on your foundation. The energy of self-regulating, we've talked about this before. It is Etznab in Mayan, and it is the obsidian knife. It is the knife that is very sharp and goes right to the heart of something, cuts out the death, or cuts out the ugly, cuts out the no longer useful, and exorcises it. In place, a void is developed that can be created or filled with love, or filled with the things that are more in keeping with the truth. So it's about making hard choices today. The hard choice may be to just be at peace no matter what is going on around you. The hard choice may be that you've got to create a new way of doing something. The hard choice may be you have to let go of something in order to have a more stable foundation. So a lot of interesting things going on here that we could talk about in terms of the day itself and self-regulating. That really tells us that who's in charge, right? And who can make change? And who is it that you're changing anyway, right? It's about the self, self-regulating. All right, let's see how people are doing out here. Something changed, by the way, with something changed in Facebook over the weekend. I don't know, or last week. Maybe it's been in the development. So, for instance, one day last week, I was on Messenger talking with my son. A few minutes later, maybe half an hour later, my Messenger phone rings, or on my phone Messenger rings, and it said Brian Hickox, which is my son. So I answered it, and it was this man that sounded like he was, you know, Middle Eastern, I don't know, Pakistani, Indian, you know, that accent that you know is not American. And I thought it was my son playing a joke, right? Just doing a voiceover kind of thing. And I said, "Who is this?" And he said, "Oh, Mom, this, you know, is somebody from PCH. PCH, you know what that is, right? Publishers Clearinghouse." And I'm like, "If you're from Publishers Clearinghouse, why are you calling on my son's Messenger?" Click. And now I'm seeing a feed from somebody named Mohammed Kassa. And Mohammed, if you're there and you're a real person, get off my stream, right? Get off my stream. We don't want to talk to you on WhatsApp. And you don't need to give us your phone number for WhatsApp. We don't want it. So leave the stream. Thank you very much. And that is the thing that I'm finding is happening here, is that we're being infiltrated by advertisers, by telemarketers and so forth. There's been something that's changed either in Facebook and, well, Facebook and Messenger are sort of together here. And as I was reading up this weekend on some of the changes in Facebook, they're making it more difficult for all of us to connect. They only want us to connect in the way they want us to connect. So now I have to even be careful about what I say in my videos, because if I say the wrong thing or I promote a product, then they're going to cut me off. It's weird and it's maddening. So that's also fed into my feelings this morning about, well, what am I going to do with that, right? If they're always changing the way that I can deliver my message, then I'm going to step outside of the social medias and I'm going to do it my way. And I don't know what that is yet, but trust me, I will keep you updated on that. So Rebecca, love hearing you speak about listening and HD today, human design, after I've been contemplating Adi Ashanti's work about listening over the weekend. I love it when that happens, right? Validation. Lisa says, when is a good time to take care of legal family matters with children and father? Lisa, I answered that question for you this weekend. As I said, it is not my gig to do timing issues. I gave you the name of an astrologer that does do that. One thing I can tell you is it might be best left until Mercury completely leaves its shadow, which would put us after August 14th. And I hope that helps. And I would wait at least until then, because Jupiter's turning direct and Jupiter rules legal affairs. So that to me says wait for a little bit longer, maybe more toward the later end of the month. But if you want somebody actually, yeah, Laura Branigan, that's right. Or Bonnie Tyler. Oh, both of you might be right. Geez, now I'm going to have to look that up. Lisa, to answer your question, if you need more specifics to your own chart, get a hold of Catherine Silverton. She is the one whose email address or what did I send you? I sent you the link, I think, to her website where you can schedule a reading with her for timing, exact timing for you. Yes, Allison and Dion, that's the one. Bonnie Tyler's, I need a hero. I need a hero. When is a good time? Okay, that's the thing I was answering. Good morning, Kristen. And Londa, good morning to you. Our prayers sent to the victims in El Paso as it's creating discord and division. It's so sad. Definitely El Paso and Dayton, Ohio, and Gilroy in California. It last week was a week filled with those kinds of violent expressions from people who, you know, and you know, the first thing people say, they start talking about guns, and I get it, right? I really am not a gun advocate. I really, you know, I'm not an advocate of guns. I believe in the Second Amendment that says you can, your right to bear arms, but I just don't understand why we need to have AK-47s and automatic rifles like that available to the public, or why we need them. What's the sport use in that? Other than just the fun of owning one, I guess. But then it falls into the hands of people who are a little left of center or a little right of center, who are just off somehow. And then they use them in, you know, these mass shootings. And I don't know that the answer is take away all of our freedoms for that. That doesn't sound right either. So what do we need to do? Well, I don't know. I don't have all those answers, but we need somebody to step up and have an open, honest discourse around this, not hiding it, not, you know, yelling at one end, you want to take away our guns, and at the other end, you guys are just, you know, setting us up for more murders and more. We need an honest conversation, you know, like one that you and I could have over coffee that says, okay, so let's go to the common denominator here in these shootings. It is likely a mental illness problem. Right. And maybe if we go even further in, it may be because there's an economic problem. So I don't know exactly how to solve that problem, but I do know it's not going to get solved if we don't talk about it. Right. If we don't bring it up, if we don't air out what's happening, if we're only in this two, you know, polarized positions, pro gun, no guns, you know, pro gun, ugh, it just drives me crazy that division has to be the case. Why not come over to the center and all, both sides, even the pro people, pro gun side, you guys have to admit this is getting ridiculous. And then who takes the heat, right? It's the people, the pressure gets put on you guys to, you know, legitimize the reason why we should have guns and why guns are legal and blah, blah, blah. Instead, let's have a conversation. Let's get to the source of the problem, which is likely a mental health issue with people, which is likely the ability for someone to use the bully pulpit and, you know, speak to things that stir people up and get to the crazies and get the crazy people to be able to take action. And I don't know, maybe the guys that did this were all sane. I don't know. But again, we won't know anything unless we begin a conversation. And that's why I say we need a hero. We need a leader. We need somebody that can bring everybody together and say, we've got to have a discourse around this. We have to have a conversation, and one that's not emotionally tinged, and one that's not angry tinged, but one that is, okay, this is not supportive of our society. And what can we do about it? It's what we would do in our own family, right? If we had an argument going on over the remote control in our house, over who gets to watch what, we would bring the family together and we would say, okay, what's the issue here? And how could we work this out peacefully? Right? We wouldn't tolerate it in our homes. We wouldn't tolerate it in our schools, right? We have conflict resolution in schools. This is in need of conflict resolution. And how do we do that? How do we do that? And let everybody hear what every side is saying, listening, and then saying, okay, well, here's the common things. Otherwise, we're just going to keep experiencing this. This is like that hammer over the head, right? Or the house that's going to fall on our heads because we keep beating a dead horse, right? We've got to do something different. Have to. All right, off the soapbox, and I'm going to pull us a card, a Wisdom of the Oracle by Colette Baron-Reed, my favorite deck of cards. So let's see what kind of energies we have for the week. And I will also draw us a spirit animal card. So let's do that. Whoa, these cards are just like not moving. Maybe there isn't. Ah, there is one. Ooh. Come to the edge. Come to the edge in reverse or upside down. It is card number 36, which is a 9. And it is, if you see the fairy, she's at the very edge. She's at a tipping point. Come to the edge. All right, let's see what that says. Card 36 is a 9 of endings, completion. 36, not 26. Okay. And again, it was in protection. It was upside down. But here's the essential meaning of the card. It says courage. Taking a leap of faith, overcoming fear, and accepting risk. The protection message says, fear is leading the way into places you don't need to go. Most of what you fear at the moment is an illusion stemming from an old belief that isn't even true. Now is a time for courage. You will not be lost at sea. You will not watch everyone else get what you want while you are left alone and unloved. Oh, the drama of it all. False evidence appearing real is hovering over you. The more you dwell on fear, the more real it will become. Ask yourself, who in me is afraid? Love that part of you. Ask, is this true and real right now? The answer most likely is no. Give yourself a hug. It's okay to be scared. Courage must be summoned. In spite of your fear, even when you're not feeling confident, spirit will always catch you. That's a cool card. And let's find an animal to help us this week as well. This is also a Colette Baron-Reed deck called Spirit Animal Oracle. And tomorrow when we meet, I will go deeper into the meaning of the Gate 7 and the Gate 13. And I think what I'll do tomorrow is we'll use the Wisdom Keepers book, the cards and oracles from Rosie Aronson, and figure that out. And we have Cow Spirit, which says, miracles are endless. The miracles are endless. Isn't she beautiful with her little sunflower? She looks so... She looks like Mother Nature. She's card number 15, which is a 6. And let's see, 15. Okay. I think somebody got cow last week when we did readings. Cow Spirit says, the miracles are endless. You are at a beautiful point in your life today, for your needs are being met effortlessly and in so many ways. Fully embrace this truth by focusing on all you have right now, including the positive relationships that sustain you, the work you are proud to do to contribute to the world, and the activities that inspire you and nourish your soul. Cow Spirit nudges you to pay attention because this is the perfect time to focus on the choices, actions, and behaviors that you know feed your soul and bring your heart contentment. Now is also the time when you will see many of your projects and commitments that were set in motion in the past begin to yield valuable gifts that will bring you joy and love and sustain you for a long time to come. Stay positive and share your well-being with others. The more you share, the more you will manifest, so be generous. Cow Spirit promises you will never run out of miracles. Cool card. So we have Cow Spirit and Come to the Edge. Courage and miracles, right? Even if this one was a little bit in protection. All right. How's everybody doing out there? Allison. Okay, there we go. Good morning, Gail. It's good to see you. Debbie says, I got the very same card this morning. Validation. I love it. Don't you just love it when cards validate? And that's, you know, what all of this is good for. Validating what you're feeling, validating how you're interpreting the energies. So I think that is it. I don't see anybody else's questions here. So for all of you, have a wonderful day. We'll see you tomorrow morning and we'll talk more about the human design aspect and the gene key aspect of the week. In the meantime, I hope you all have a wonderful day. Take care. Stay out of the emotional turmoil if you can. I'll see you tomorrow. Bye.